Okay, so this is Jan Blodgett talking to Maddie Fletcher on the 29th December 2016 in her home in Davidson, North Carolina. So I'd like to just start by having you talk a little bit about your early childhood, where your parents, where you were born. Just tell me a little bit about who your parents were, who your grandparents were.
My parents were Alonzo and Eileen Jackson. And my mother's maiden name was Hunter. I was born in Abbeville, South Carolina, where my parents resided at that time. And I was told that jobs got so, the men couldn't find work and farming wouldn't sustain them. Couldn't sustain families. And my dad, well, my uncle came to Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, I was very young at that time. I don't know why Uncle Dennis decided to come up here to North Carolina. I don't know why. I don't know whether there were relatives. But it had to be somebody that he, you know, had to stay with or something so he could get going. Anyway, he came to North Carolina first. And he coaxed Daddy to come up here also. So Mama told me that Daddy went off and left the family, left us there, told us he'd come back and get us, you know, when he got a job and got a place for us to live. How long it took, I don't know. But this did happen. I guess I was at the age of maybe 3 years old when he came and got us and brought us here.
Okay. So what year were you born in?
1937.
Okay.
December 21st.
Oh, happy belated birthday.
Yes, thank you. And then we moved to a house out here off of it had to be at that time some into the Purcellys. There was a man named Jesse Purcell. We lived on his place. Okay. And Daddy worked in the mill down here in Cornelius. That big old, where it used to be the ice house.
Okay.
That was a mill at one point, and that's where Daddy worked. And we just started, you know, Daddy worked, Mama stayed at home with us. But we moved around to a lot of places. We lived in a house that off of McCord Road.
Okay, in Huntersville.
Yeah. In Huntersville, on Lloyd McCord's place. Okay. And we lived in Huntersville at one time. By that time, I was old enough to start to school. No, I want to go back. Because when I started to school, we were living at on the Knox place. What's that man's name? He was a Knox. That's why I'm so familiar with a lot of people in the area. Mm-hmm. I've been exposed to a lot of them. And that's where I went to school.
So did you, okay, did you go to one of the Rosenwald schools?
No, I went to, did you ever know the John, the Stinsons?
Yeah.
Okay, do you remember Mrs. Johnson? She was married to, she was a Stinson. She was a school teacher.
Okay.
I remember I used to ride to school with her. I didn't. I would walk up to the road, and she would come down and pick me up, and I'd go to school. She'd take me to school.
Was it Huntersville, Cornelius?
I'm trying to remember. Where was it? No, it would have been Huntersville.
Okay.
Oh, I remember. It was Huntersville.
Okay.
In the place where, in Huntersville, they have that old school. It's a white building.
Right.
Directly, that used to be a school.
Right, okay. That was the Rosenwald School. Yeah, it's now the Torrance Lytle Center, right?
Oh, is that the Rosenwald School?
Yeah. Did you, the same school that B.J. Caldwell went to? Do you know B.J. Caldwell?
Mm-hmm.
She grew up in Huntsville.
Betty. Yeah. Okay. And you know, after we left Huntersville, we lived out, you know, I was so young, you were talking, let's see, I'm 79 now. You're really pushing my memory. I went to a school in Iredell County.
Okay.
Lamar's Chapel.
Torrance Chapel?
Morrill's Chapel, out in Huntersville. So we moved around quite a lot. I don't know why we moved around. I think it was just one thing I will say, each place was better and better. Mm-hmm. Daddy and Mama had no education, but especially my daddy, he was always a man like to better himself. Mm-hmm. Better himself. He just had that drive. That was the kind of drive he had.
And how many brothers and sisters did you have?
Okay. I have one half sister living. Now, my mama was my daddy's second wife. His first wife died when at that time he had Ivy Darcy. He had three children, and when the baby girl was born, his first wife, she died in childbirth. So he married Mama. Mm-hmm. So that he already had three kids, okay. Which we kept, and I can say he kept us all in touch with one another. We knew our half-sisters. Mm-hmm. There's only one living now. The other two of them are gone. But all the kids from my mother, mm-hmm. I have two brothers and one sister.
Okay.
So there are four of us, and all of us are still intact, okay. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, even with our ages.
So did your dad keep working at the same mill, or as he got, did he get better jobs as well?
Yeah, he worked in Charlotte for Sears for years. Sears. Mm-hmm. And then somehow or other, he worked at the college. That's how he got on to moving here. That's the family home right there.
Okay, the house.
That's, yeah, that I was raised in. And we just went from there, and he became a minister. He even went to school. I used to go to school with him at night.
Oh.
And that was interesting, too. And as I grew, I just started working different places.
So what kind of things were you babysitting, or?
Well, at first I would babysit for people, and I was working for people in their homes. Okay. And then I somehow or other I got a job at Lawrence Hospital in Mooresville.
Okay.
And back in the day, if you had the wherewithal and people figured you were teachable, they would take a chance on you. Because when I worked in Morris, we did what did the girls do? Now we didn't give nurses assistants.
Okay.
Now we did not give medicine, and medicines was never put in our hands to give to the patient. For instance, we would prep patients for surgery. Mm-hmm. We would take temps.
Okay.
We fed the babies a little bit, preemies.
Mm-hmm.
We was taught how to put that tube in that baby's stomach without getting it in the lungs.
Mm-hmm.
We also did, they would call suction machines.
Mm-hmm.
This was Lawrence Hospital in Louisville.
Okay.
And I don't know what they got now, but say for instance, if you had just say what you call it now when in your stomach, anything wrong with your stomach that had to be pumped.
Okay.
And I'm gonna tell you what we used. We had great big gallon jugs.
Mm-hmm.
One would sit on the floor half full of water. You put that tube in the one on the floor. You would put that tube down the person's nose into their stomach. Now, it's amazing.
Oh.
It is amazing what they risked, where they risked us.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, we didn't lose people then like we lose them now. Now that mm-hmm. is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd hang another jug up above with a tube in it, and with that water in that tub up there, that made your suction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we would pump our stomachs. I enjoyed doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kind of things that we did.
Mm-hmm. So how long were you a nursing assistant?
Okay, I was a nursing assistant maybe about 10 years.
Okay.
Maybe about 10. And Dad is working at college at that time. And I had walked to the post office to get the mail, and that was the first time I came to know Janie French.
Okay.
Because I had, you know, heard Daddy speak of her, but I didn't know her.
Mm-hmm. And was she working at the guest house
at
that point?
No, she wasn't working at the guest house. She was the
secretary
to Dr. Martin.
Okay, the president's secretary. Okay. Where was he treasurer then?
This was the president.
Because Martin was treasurer and then he was president. But I think she was his when he was president.
I think she then. But anyway, I was walking along, she asked me she stopped and told me who she was and asked me that I want a job. And I said, I have a job. She said, but I can get you more money. I don't know, she just kept badgering me.
Recruiting.
Well, yeah, you're right, recruiting. So I finally said, okay, and that's how I came to work at the guest house.
Okay.
So
how old were you when you started at the guest house? You must have been fairly young.
I was 16 years old when I started working, period.
Right.
So, I don't know, I guess. But anyway, I do know, she asked me one day, what I like to be a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And because she knew that I had gotten bitten. And so she said, we're going to get you down in, down here at Huntersville. Down at the Oaks in Huntersville. Mm-hmm. That was a hospital.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Before it was a rehabilitation center.
Yes, ma'am. And I went down to Charlotte and I took a test. I made a B+ on that test. They still would not accept me. I did not have a high school diploma. And you know, that enraged. I used to tease Miss French and always tell her, I said, I don't know what part of you is Spanish, but I'm telling you. Because she had that black hair and she had that brown, that I guess it was a, that her coloring. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she had that temper. Well, they wanted me to come back and I made a point, 2 points higher then. And she got it in her head that it was racism. And that was the wrong thing for Janie French to get in her mind.
Uh-oh.
Now, she was out of Mississippi. She was born and partially raised, I guess, in Mississippi, because I used to drive her back to Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Sure did. You know, I look back. And I can see where every footstep I've taken has been playing unbeknownst to me from above.
But what was it like going to Mississippi? Were you afraid to go there? Or
no, I didn't have sense enough to be scared. I was driving. I mean, I was a driver. I could drive. The only place, because Miss French was with me, and I don't know, we really had a good time. I tell you the reason I drove her there, is I say she was raised in Mississippi, mm-hmm. and she wanted to go back. That's when she had gotten sick, and she was on that oxygen and all. And she wanted to go back where home used to
so
be.
So this would have been 1990?
I don't know, but you can check this. Russia used to, you know, when they started doing the eggs, the Russia do those what
like
you call
Easter eggs?
No, eggs. No, they are eggs that are made in Russia.
Fabergé.
Fabergé, right?
Okay. When the exhibit came.
Yeah.
Okay.
When they had the exhibit.
Okay.
That'll give you the year.
Okay.
They had that exhibit in Mississippi.
Okay.
So we went down there, and we also went to that. We had everything worked out. I had sense enough. At that time, I was working for the college, and I gained a little more sense. I had sense enough to work everything out through AAA.
Okay. So you got the directions? Yeah. And
I got everything. I had them to set up my where we would stay. And I don't know why Miss Rich just left all that to me, I guess. I don't know, you know? She really trusted me because I could end up in a swamp with her somewhere. but anyway, I set that up. No, for some reason, I wasn't concerned. But it was an awesome thing. The first night, we got into, because we left early. Mm-hmm. We stayed, what was, in her aunt, in her someplace, and that was someplace in Georgia. She had an aunt that lived there. And this was a big old house, but I loved it. Because it sat on a hill, on the top of a hill, and the porch went all the way around that house. And I love Southern settings anyway. That's why I love to read books with Southern settings, Mississippi, Louisiana. Because you have a different culture mixed up there together, producing different thoughts, ideas, and living conditions.
Yeah.
And I love Southern literature. And we eat supper, and Miss French's aunt had her maid to take me and show me my room where I was to stay. And I could, when I got in my room, I could open that side door and go out on the porch.
Whoa.
It's quite an awesome thing, and it was quite a, I don't know. It's something about it. But there is something about Mississippi that will tug at your heart. And she told her maid that, I don't know what time this lady came to work, but she told her that I liked my coffee early in the morning. The next morning, she knocked on that door and she brought a little tray with the coffee and she set it in. She wouldn't talk to me though, which was all right. So I got my cup of coffee and I went out on the porch. And the sun was just coming up, and I always loved to get up early and just to be out that time of morning, that stillness. And you could hear a rooster crowing over on that farm and hear a dog baying somewhere off in the distance. And
almost like being in a novel.
Yes, it did.
So we go back.
And it hit me. I said, here I am in Mississippi, done slept in this white woman bed, and this white woman got her black maid waiting on me. But anyway, we left. And when we did get to Mississippi, it was another awesome thing to me. And I've been trying to remember, this hotel, it was a nice place, that we stayed in was really nice. And we was there, I believe, two or three days, I forget now which. And we was up on the second floor. And you know, they had the pool on that end. And oh, if I didn't hear Martin Luther King when I looked down there and saw those kids down there in that
pool.
Because they had it set up so as if you were looking out over a beach. They had a beach on that end, and then they had a little pond. They had pond. But all this was indoor.
Okay.
All that was indoor.
So there were black children and white children swimming together?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. It was an awesome thing. Mm-hmm. And that...
Let's go back to that, to the test that you took. Did you ever get to take nursing classes? Did Janie...
No, she told me. She said this to me. She said, now, you know if you want to get in, you will get in. Okay. But I knew the pressure they would put on me and my mind. Because as I say, I was young. I mean, it didn't. Because I saw what would happen to other children when they would try to break the...
any barriers?
The barriers. And what those kids had to go through. My daddy would have been in jail. And I knew that. Because he was a kind person. He loved people. But you didn't walk. My daddy was a man you didn't walk on. I don't care what color you were. That's just the way he was.
So the nursing bug hadn't hit so strong that you wanted to.
But after I got started working for the college, I liked the idea of being able to meet people from all over the world.
I mean,
don't know.
Yeah, all the international families.
And all that. This is what I'm saying. Yeah. It's a much better deal.
So how did you meet your husband?
We lived in Huntersville. You know, and they used to have, every Saturday, they would have ball games on the schoolyard.
At Torrance Lytle?
At Torrance Lytle. It wasn't the schoolyard. It was a ball field from the school. And at that time, we lived in Huntersville. And that's how I met him.
You were just both at the game, or?
Yeah, he was at the game. And I was there with my friends because it wasn't a long way. Mm-hmm. It was in walking distance.
Now,
I don't know.
Were you in high school at the time, or had you already finished school?
No, I was in high school. I did not finish school because I had Frankie, my oldest son.
Okay.
I was in high school.
Okay.
So
in high school, you met him at a football game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we just, And we just, you know.
So what was he doing? Him.
Well, he was working at a pipe down here to Charlotte. They call it the pipe foundry.
Okay.
Where they made pipes, mm-hmm. you know, that go under the streets and, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing.
So when you got married, did you live with your parents or live with mm-hmm. his parents? Or?
Yeah, that was pretty after we got married.
Yeah, after you got married.
No. We didn't live here with them. We rented a house in Huntersville off McCoy Road. Off McCoy Road, where that handsome man named, we lived in his house. Mm-hmm. I forget his name. But that was that.
Okay, so you got married and you had your son, Frankie. And so when were you working at the hospital in Mooresville? After that or before that?
Frankie was born in 58, and I was working there in 58. Because I went to work one day and had Frankie.
At work?
Yeah. I didn't get back home. But by the fact I worked all the time, I guess that made it so easy. Because I worked every day. And then Frankie was born in 58, because we used to call him our 58 baby. But that's when that was.
So you were living in Huntersville still then?
No, we had moved
up here.
Yeah, had moved here. And I was married after Frankie.
Okay.
After Frankie was born. And we lived down there in me and my husband. Now, wait a minute now. Because when I was working, I bought my property before I was married. Yeah,
That's impressive.
Huh?
That's impressive. You saved up to buy property?
Well, yes and no. I had saved some money. But my daddy put that house up for this. And that's how I got it. And Ms. Mebbin gave me the down payment. She helped me saving on the down payment. And I worked, saved on the down payment. And with Daddy and Ms. Mebbin, I
bought this property.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever know Ms. Mebbin?
I didn't. They weren't here when I got here.
Oh, they were?
Or if they were, I didn't get to meet them.
So. We've had some nice people. Is that the television or is that
my... No, there's a dog somewhere.
There's a dog in that back room in there.
I'm not hearing. I think it sounds like it's outside.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like he's... But he's not outside. Yeah. We don't let him go outside. And you just asked me because my mind's got to think about what is what. Because I really hadn't thought.
So where did Frankie go to school?
Frankie went to school in Huntersville, down here at Davidson, and Huntersville. That's where Frankie went to school.
Okay. So Ada Jenkins or Davidson Elementary?
He went, well, by him, we were living here when we were born. I mean, when he was born. And Ada Jenkins, I'm trying to think, it was just about to go out. He didn't go to Ada Jenkins long. He did.
Yeah, because they shut down. So he might have gone.
Okay, he was born in 58. I forget first or second grade. Yeah, he didn't go very long before they went to Huntersville. That's where he graduated from.
So he managed. Wait a minute. Where in Huntersville did he go to North Mac?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he went to North Mac.
And did you have other children?
Yes.
Okay.
I have after Frankie. I had Diane, which I was married in. I had Diane, which is my oldest daughter. She's bipolar. And I thought about Debbie and her daughter that died, Fisher, what's her name? And that child gave Debbie Reynolds a run for her money.
Oh.
That girl when she was, and I thought about Diane. Being bipolar, how she gives me a run for mine. But I'm still standing.
You are.
I'm still standing. And then I have Sandra. Mm-hmm. Sandy went to school in Huntersville. At North Mid.
Okay.
And then Bobby, I have another son, Bucky. You ever heard of Bucky? He works over.
Where does he work?
Over at the Pines.
Oh, okay.
Miss Kelton's darling.
No.
So he works over there. So I have two girls and two boys.
Okay.
And Sandy works for Carolina Medical and HR. Diane did work, but she don't work. You know, she don't work for one thing so much. Half of her health just gone. And Bucky work over here at the Pines and in the kitchen, cooking.
It's nice that you still have them close around, that they haven't all moved too far away.
You know, I don't know. I would love to be in this old house by myself. Uh-huh. I really would.
Okay.
I would. Kids don't need to be with the parents. And Bucky's the only one here with me now. But honey, Frankie was born in that house. He ain't coming out. So he stays with my brother. My older brother
okay.
lives there. He's still there in the family house. And Frankie stayed down there with him. And my other brother, he just bought him another home in Bessemer City.
Mm-hmm.
Over there in mm-hmm. Bessemer City, somewhere over in there. So it was because it was two boys and two girls of us.
Mm-hmm. So for all the years that you lived or work for Davidson, what are some of the things that you saw change? I mean, you must have seen the African-American students coming, international students coming, women coming to campus, faculty changing.
yeah, I saw the change. I more or less saw it. See, I was 59 when I left. Mm-hmm. What year was that? Okay, I'm 79 now. Okay,
96.
That would have been 20. Huh? Yeah,
1996? Or 2000?
Yeah, 96. I believe it would have been 96.
I thought we overlapped longer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it may overlap some. But I really start seeing the actual physical changes in 96. I could tell they wanted the older people out and they wanted new blood.
What about the town of Davidson?
It has, oh God. Davidson is not the Davidson that I moved to. And Davidson is not the Davidson that I raised my kids in. And I can understand that because the population has grown so. Mm-hmm. But I look at our mayor.
Mm-hmm. John Woods.
John Woods grew up with, he knew. He acts like he, I don't know. I called him one day. I wanted to talk to him about, it was about something. I forget now what it was about. And he stayed down there. Well, I wanted to get him up here and we talked one-on-one. And I told him, I said, I could come to your office and talk. I said, but I want this to be a private talk. Because John Woods grew up with us. I mean, hey, mm-hmm. Well, what we going to talk about? What? I said, John, you act like I'm going to get you up here and kill you. I said, and I hadn't killed you in all these years. Why do you think I want to make time now? You know, that's not kosher. And I got to remember all this going on there. But that kind of... That kind of got me. I couldn't get him up here. It's a lot of things that I just, Davidson has gotten to be so greedy now. The greed is astronomical.
I'm always intrigued when people are relatively new here. Of course, I've only been here since 94, but you know, in the 60s and 70s, even 1980s, this was a relatively poor town. Davidson wasn't a really rich school. There were a few big houses, but not.
But
it's really changed.
But let me tell you something, Jane. There has always been, don't you fool yourself, I practically grew up here. There has always been money in Davidson. They just didn't go food. What everybody had, it wasn't no big deal. Everybody was on the same. Yeah, it's the pots down here. It has always been big money in Davidson, and don't. That's how come everybody latched on to it so fast. It has always been money in Davidson. That ain't been nothing new. And done to the fact that I grew up with people with money, and there was never any difference. We all swung across the gullies down yonder back, down under the hill, all teenagers, and go down there and meet up with them there, college boys, and you talk about playing ball and playing football, girls and boys. Wasn't nobody standing on the hill watching us. Nobody driving through to see what we was doing. The only time we saw an adult, somebody come down and get the chaps home for supper. Sometime a student would come home and eat with us. Sometime they didn't. So this has been the thing about Davidson that really gets to me. It's always been money in Davidson. Money ain't new to Davidson. But it is money new. But what's done happened, the people that's coming in here, they got mama and dad and grandma's money now, and they just now, you know, there's always been money in there.
I mean, well, certainly the shops have changed on downtown.
So the what?
The shops, where you can shop downtown and what you can get, and we've gotten more expensive.
Well, now, I remember, do you remember the Copelands? You weren't here when the Copelands were here.
I've met Mr. Copeland, the dentist.
The dentist. Wait a minute. Is Don?
Donald.
Yeah. Don.
And I've met his daughter.
Now, I don't, I you know I've forgotten his children. Okay. Don is more, he's a dentist now.
Well, he's in his 80s now, I think. I don't know if he's still practicing. But I know, I mean, I know the house, and his mom used to...
Right there,
Yeah.
Okay, Donald delivered Sandy, my baby girl. But anyway, because see, we're close in age, because I worked for them at one time. The Copelands, they had money. Oh, man, he was stingy with it, but he had it. At that time, we had a shoe...
Mr. McKissick, and I forget who had it before Mr. McKissick.
No, you saying a shoe shop.
Oh, shoe shop.
I'm talking about, we had, at one point, there was a shoe store in Davis.
Oh, okay.
We had Withers, with your appliances.
Withers Electrics.
And these were things that people needed and used. And we patronized them. We had a grocery store. I wish I had my brother here. He can come up with names up here. He can come up with names.
The Andersons, I know.
Yeah. So, and we had Brian Nim that did Coffee Cup. So, there's always been money in Davidson. It just wasn't no hoo-lop about it. But I tell you another thing. You better get out of Davidson before you start drinking. Now, that was one thing. There were no alcohol sold in Davidson. Davidson was model for the college and these kids. No.
So when you were young and married, never said your kids were working, but did you go down to Charlotte for parties and football games? What did you do for entertainment?
Okay, before I got married, we all ate, honey. Everywhere that basketball team went that we could go, we would go. And that was mostly to the Coliseum.
Okay.
And we'd go down there and yell and yell and couldn't go back to work. Davis and Collins, couldn't nobody talk to them. Yeah. We enjoy. Davison was enjoyable.
Okay. So this was when Lefter Dizel was coaching and Mike Malloy was playing?
Yeah.
We're going down to the Coliseum in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. And Coach Dizel, I tell you, that man was something that you could just fall in love with him, with his personality. And Mike, Mike?
Malloy.
Malloy. Well, who was it?
And then
Mike Malloy.
He was the basketball player.
Yeah.
And then
I got a little lamp that Mike gave me when he was a little China doll lamp that gave me when he was. I have a lot of things that people gave me when I was working there. Don, I have a set of pearls that Don Davis' mother gave me. You remember him? He played on the basketball. Mm-hmm. And Dick Snyder.
Mm-hmm. I've met Dick Snyder.
And so that there's. Oh, I could go back. There are just lots of people that I learned in the middle. That's why I say it. That was more fun down here than it was up there. I enjoyed it.
You relaxed a little bit in Charlotte.
Yeah, I guess so. Charlotte has never been a big deal for me. I remember I used to catch the bus out there. Me and Edith White. They used to live over there in this big house over there. We used to catch the bus and go to Charlotte and shop. Mm-hmm. But it really wasn't a lot of shopping places. We'd go downtown to the, not Ivy's, what was that?
Before it was Belk's?
Maybe. I'm trying to think what was. It wasn't Ivy's. But anyway, mm-hmm. What would we go with? Roses? We'd catch a bus out there and go down and shop. But as far as going to the movies, you remember when, well, no, you don't. They had the movies up here in Moores. Mm-hmm. That's where we went to the movies. We had no connection with Charlotte. We didn't even have any relatives in Charlotte. So we wouldn't, we didn't go to Charlotte very often. I went out of town on the bus more than I did to Charlotte.
Okay.
To see my half sisters and things. Mm-hmm. But I never did go to Charlotte very much.
Mm. You said your daddy was a minister. Where did you go to church?
He was AME Zion Methodist.
All right.
That's why I guess I'm still in AME Zion Methodist.
At Reeves Temple now?
No, and now I'm going to Union Bethel out in Cornelius.
Okay.
Reese Temple, they have a strong pastor there. I like him. But I don't know. I just got into Union Bethel. For one thing, I don't know. I guess I got pulled away because they had a choir.
Yeah, music can be important.
It can be important. It can be important.
Did you sing in choirs growing up?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you liked it or because your father expected you to?
I liked it. Mm-hmm. He, you know, I don't, Daddy was the kind of man like this. Now, Mama was a kind of meek, humble lady, bless her heart. But the only thing, and this was done throughout the South, you had to go to church when you were a kid. You had to go to church. If you lived under these folks' roof and you eat and they fed you and they clothed you, you were going to do what they say do. Now, you can go out here and stay out all night long. When you come through the door, come on, let's go to church. And I guess... And then, and another thing, church was also an outlet for us. It was a social outlet for us because there wasn't any clubs we could go to and a whole lot of places you could go to. You really couldn't go anywhere really too far. You couldn't go to Great Greensboro and go to a movie where, yeah, you know, yeah, this is when I...
a whole lot around.
Yeah,
here.
Right.
Rural, so, yeah.
Right. But other than that, but I love people. I got that thing from Daddy. My daddy loved people. He loved people till they ruffled his feathers. He will ruffle them.
All right, well, I think I've asked all my questions, so unless there's something else that you want to say or...
No, we can wrap this up. But you got me looking back now, and I'm thankful that to be 79 years of age. And I forgot to tell you, I have a grandson now.
Oh, okay.
And I'm so proud of him. He has another year and a half, and he'll have his degree.
He's in college now?
Mm-hmm.
Where's he going?
Down that UNC over here at here in Charlotte. He went to Carolina. Mm-hmm. What? No. I need him. Anyway, he couldn't stand it up there. He just was so. But now he made the dean's list, but he couldn't stand it up there. He just didn't like it up there.
So he transferred to Charlotte.
Well, we had a time getting him settled down. When school started up again, we really, because his daddy wanted him to go back up there. And I told Buck, I said, no, you send him back up there to waste money. I said, because he don't like it. He's not going to do good there. He finally went over here in the mountains to, and I didn't like over there in the mountains.
Upstate or Western?
What, say
Appalachian State or Western Carolina?
I think it must have been over here. I don't know. I have to ask him. Okay. He liked it pretty good over there. He did. Mm-hmm. But we couldn't afford it.
Oh.
I said, I said, you be in debt the rest of your life. So I told him, I said, Delante, I'm going to tell you what you do. Because he would just... Mm-hmm. And... Parents have to learn, when your kids get out of high school, that's not the time to turn them loose. No, that's not the time, oh, I done got him through school, he can make it. They can't make it on all. It's too much to grasp. They're out there in the world, don't know what. So, I said, get you a job and go to work. I said, get you a job and you go to work. And then we'll think about where you want to go to college. I said, get you a job, go to work, and I'll buy you a car.
Mm.
And he did. But you think, I waited about 4 months before I bought that car.
Good plan.
Who ain't going to get no car and take off on me? So I did. He went in here down here at the Central Pete Mile.
Okay.
And did something there. And then now he transferred over here to the big school of there. And he's got a year and a half and he'll have his degree. In the meantime, he works for Carolina Medical.
Oh, very good.
Plus going to school. And I'm really, really proud of the little boy.
Sounds
so,
like a lot like his grandmother.
Well, you can't turn him loose. You can't turn him loose. And I think this is what's happening to a lot of our kids just because they get through high school. Well, I've done my part. No, you haven't. That's the time you really got to fight because it's too many hands out there. And I had the controlling button there. Because after he got that job, I didn't go running nowhere. I think it was about 5 months before I got that car. I was going to make sure you ain't going to take off on me. Because I could have got your back because the car had been in my name and, you know, in here. But, I'm right proud of the little old fella.
Well, thank you so much.
You were quite
fun.
Welcome,
I love
Jane.
Hearing your stories.